So everyone had a good holiday. We'll get this out of the way. Everything is good. I know you guys were back last night. You probably covered all this, but I wasn't here. So we're just in the affirm. Everything's fine.
Yes, everything
you had a good
was
holiday.
A very nice holiday. How about yourself?
It was great. Thank you for asking. There.
How was it having? Was this your daughter's first time back from college?
Ever?
Well, yeah.
No, she was. Well, she came home last year.
Oh, that's right. She's a sophomore.
She's a sophomore. She did come home. She had to go back. She left yesterday. Sunday. What's today? Today. Well, anyway, she left Sunday night. She had to go back 2 weeks early for sorority business. So her, and this is the thing. I think she enjoys being in the sorority, but every time she talked about the sorority, it sounded like it was a huge pain for her. And then she's like, "Well, I don't want to have to, you know, cut my vacation 2 weeks short." I was like, "Well, then don't be in the sorority." See, because here's the guy mentality. If you don't like something, then don't do it. But she's like, no, I like. Were you in a sorority, Esmeralda?
No.
You're not a sorority girl. Mm-mm. I didn't think so. No. Yeah, so she had to go back. This week they practice because next week is recruitment week. So this week, all the sorority girls or young women, they get everything together. They practice walking in their heels. Because they have to be in heels for an, I know, Esmeralda.
I'm already tired.
I've the whole thing to me. She was explaining to me the whole rundown of the week where they get to the house at like 7 a.m. and they practice wearing their shoes all day, and then they get things straightened up and they get every day because every day is a different day during recruitment week, so they have to have their outfits okayed. And they have to decide, you know, they put down who's going to be the girls who sing, because they're singing when the recruits come to the door. And some people will sing the entire time. Some people will sing until the PNMs, the potential new members. This I'm learning all this.
They
on
don't
Sunday.
Just yell at them anymore and go get in line.
There's no
stupids.
Hazing. I asked. There's no paddles. There's no hazing. Very little livestock involved in the whole process.
Man,
I know it doesn't sound like fun to me at all. So she had to go back. And the more I listen to this, the happier I am that when I was at Southern, the Greek system was almost non-existent, because I have no idea why you would want to be part of a group that treats you like this. You know, that now it's better, I guess, without the hazing, allegedly. But she was telling me about one of the sorority houses on campus that got in trouble because, listen to this, Esmeralda, as a woman, you'd find this distasteful. They would take a recruit and sit her on the dryer in her underwear and run the dryer, and then they would circle every part of her that jiggled.
Oh, that's like in the movies.
Well, it's real, though. That's reality is not far from cinema.
Now, that's so. Now, one, it's, I mean, that's not good. But two, when you're sitting, things are different.
Of course they are. But here's the thing.
I'm like, it's different. You have more rolls and,
right, things
and
settle.
Squishy things,
right,
when you
things
sit.
Things just drop when you sit.
So that's not fair.
That's why you rarely see me sitting in public places. I'll sit here because I'm lazy at 2:15. But during the day, I stand nonstop because I like to stretch it all out. But again, all right, if you're trying to join a group and they do that to you to humiliate you, why would you want to be part of that group? See, this is what I never understood about the Greeks. And people yell at me, oh, you don't understand. It's all about networking and you make lifelong connections. Do I want to be connected to someone who treated me like that?
Right. But don't they just, it's kind of because you're now a brother or a sister or whatever, and this is what we do to
this
each
is
other.
What, I guess. So supposedly there is no more hazing. That's the word on the street.
Right.
That's the official line that the sororities have to take.
Well, now there's a lot. Like, I went to DePaul, and there is a Greek system there, but not really. Like, they don't really have houses and things,
okay.
I don't think. And there's a lot of different ones, like business ones.
Oh, sure. The professional,
right.
Professional fraternities and sorority. I know, because she's in like a business one, too, through the business school and that kind of thing. But no, this is the old school.
So she's in more than one?
Well, the business, the academic ones, they don't have meetings and things.
Oh, they don't
kinda,
count like that. They don't make her wear heels all
no,
day.
No, they don't have to wear heels. She didn't have. This is the dumbest. There was something coming up where you had to wear a coral color shirt. But they didn't. Instead of ordering the same shirt for everybody in the sorority, they just said, go out and get a coral shirt. And then they had the girls put them on and line up, and they chastised and judged the shade of coral, meaning that some girls then had to go and try to find a different. And my wife spent weeks online trying to find a coral shirt.
That's not coral. That's salmon.
That's what it is. That's the kind of craziness. And I listen to this, and my head just starts to hurt. And I'm like, okay, whatever. But yes, this is the kind of thing that you get to look forward to. And she's like, well, and you know, they wear there's some, and I remember it from years ago. Some preppy brand that the ladies wear that the girls, a lot of the girls wear, and you have to try to find things that match. And they can't just. I said, and again, this is me trying to be a rational guy, going, well, if they want you all to wear the same shirt, why don't they just order shirts for everybody? Well, because if the shirts come and they don't run the right size and some of the girls won't look as good in the shirt. And it is, even though it's all about sisterhood and academics and philanthropy and blah, 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 underlying it is all about looks and image, because they tell you exactly what to wear every day when you're doing these recruiting things. What kind of shoes, what kind of jewelry, what colors, what. And I'm like, oh, boy. I don't get it. So that's yes, Dan. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
She was home, and now she's gone.
Sorry about that.
And that's all right. Listen, it's fine. And she can't even get into the dorms this week. The dorms don't open till Thursday, so there's about 15 sorority girls crashing in one girl's apartment. Which to me, I mean, that to me sounds like college fun. Hijinks.
Wait, what about the house?
Sorority. Oh,
you can't stay there.
Not in New Orleans. They're not. There's laws.
Oh, that's right.
So they can't stay in the house.
I've heard of that.
Yes. So there's some sorority houses where you're allowed to have like the executive board live in there, but there can't be more than a certain amount of girls. And it depends who you talk to. It's either old laws regarding. What's the nice word for a whorehouse? I don't think
cat house.
Cat house, sure. I guess I didn't need to, what do you call those, Dan?
I thought you were going to go with something very genteel, like ladies of the night. Or...
No.
It's a cat house.
Yeah, a cat house. It's a cat house. I forget the legal term. Not a boudoir. That's a bedroom. You know what I'm saying. There depends who you talk to. It's either those kind of laws or there's some, because the fraternities can have as many insane dudes as you want crammed into a house. But the ladies can't. And I don't know if they're just trying to be more genteel or not. But that's that. So, no, the house is just for show and for meetings. And they actually inherited it from another sorority that got kicked off campus. Brian Noonan in for Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. Nick will be in for Steve Cochran in just a couple of hours. And then he'll do that today and he'll do that tomorrow. So I will be with you today and tomorrow. For Nick. See how that works? Everybody just shifts over a little. Except Esmeralda, she stays right where she belongs, right here, because, we can't have Esmeralda just wandering around, wandering the streets, taking snapshots. I do enjoy your after work pictures.
Well, thank you.
You seem to take one every morning.
For the most part, yeah. And see something silly or whatever.
You made me very jealous the other day with your post about your matzo ball soup.
Oh, man. I'm
so
still
good.
Talking about that.
I have not had matzo ball soup in a long time.
That was my first time.
Really?
Yeah.
It looked delicious.
It was.
It looked really good.
So good.
I was like, oh, Esmeralda's having matzo ball soup. That's the beauty and the curse of social media. You get to share people's lives almost to a weird extent where, like, I don't feel I should know the intimate details of your dining life, and yet I do, and I know, like, I know when you're leaving work. I know your route.
It's kind of,
it's
yeah.
It's like, uh-oh. And I'm not stalking you either. I just open up Facebook and
yeah, I choose to do it. So.
Right. So we all put our lives out there, and that's...
That matzo ball was huge, though.
It looked gigantic. And I liked that matzo ball soup had a few noodles in the soup, too. Sometimes you just get the broth.
Yeah, the waiter suggested matzo noodles. I was like, okay.
Okay, yeah, sure. If the waiter recommends it, that's always...
Right.
You got to go with that. Just because it would seem rude if the waiter said, listen, I would do it this way. Nope.
Mm-mm.
I'm doing it my way.
I'm not trusting you.
Yeah, who
are
you?
I've never been here, but forget it.
Who are you, guy that works here all the time and serves thousands of people? No, you don't know anything. You're dumb. That seems harsh. It's over the top. All right, later on in the program, we're going to have, this is very nice, because the Blackhawks play the Pittsburgh Penguins tonight. You might not know too much about the Pittsburgh Penguins, but after the 3:30 news, you will get to know your enemy, which again seems harsh, but when it comes down to sports, it's all very, nah. All right, 2015 has ended, as you know, because you're alive and you're not dumb. 2016 has started, and one of the things that I like to do, and I know Nick does too, Nick's more movies than TV. I'm a big TV guy. So I found this, the most watched TV shows of 2015 that aren't football. And I want to see if you agree with this list, if there's something on this list that you just loved and you're trying to turn people on and say, all right, listen, this was on in 2015, but you got to watch it in 2016. And I'm just starting to get into, I've never been a streaming guy. Like, we have a Netflix account. I got exposed to Netflix because Cody, my producer on the Sunday show, two Christmases ago gave me a 6-month subscription in Netflix for my Christmas present, which was very nice. And I said, oh, thank you, Cody. That's very nice. And I activated the account. And you know how many times I used it? Never. Because I'm not, that's not my mindset. But of course, then my daughter went, we have a Netflix account. And she then started watching all these things. So I'm trying to get into streaming as well. Because one day I hope to cut my cable. Because it's crazy expensive. And I don't even have all the channels. I have some. But I'm getting into the streaming services now. I just started the other night. My wife and I used to watch the show Longmire on A&E. Then it got canceled on A&E, but now it's on Netflix. And so sometimes I'm like 100 years old. So we have this Netflix account, and I kept saying to my wife, hey, Longmire's on Netflix. We should probably, we can start watching it again. She's, oh, yes, that'll be fun. But the Netflix on the big TV, as I like to call it, because, again, I'm 100 years old. Yeah, the big TV. It comes through the Wii system. Now, I'm not the brightest bulb, but I'm not an idiot. I should be able to, I set up the account. I should be able to go down there and turn on the Wii and get the Netflix going and watch it. But I'll have to ask our daughter. So I talked to her on the phone. Hey, when you come home, you got to show me how this Netflix works. And again, I run all sorts of equipment here. I've hooked up every piece of audio and video equipment in our house. And yet somehow I thought I couldn't figure out how to turn on Netflix. So before she left on Sunday, I went, hey, you gotta come downstairs. Show me how to turn on this Netflix. And again, I say this Netflix, like, because I'm watching the cable. And all it was turning on the Wii. The hardest part of the whole thing, have you ever played Wii, the Wii system?
Yeah.
Yeah, the hardest part is using that damn remote.
Yep.
Because I can't get, it's like I have some sort of, I got the yips because I got a palsy or something. I'm shaking all over the place because I'm trying to get the little finger to go to hit the, it's horrifying.
It's very sensitive, right?
It's overly sensitive. And then it makes some sort of weird noise, like it's mocking me because I can't get the finger in the right place. So then I have another finger that I use for the Wii system. But anyway.
I feel your pain because actually Eileen's Christmas gift to each other, our Christmas gift to each other, was the Amazon Fire Stick.
Oh, how was that?
It's nice. We like it. But we had been using the Wii for our Netflix up until that point, and we're having these same issues with the very, touchy finger. And
I found I can't do it from my chair. I have to stand up and take like 4 steps toward the TV. So now I'm in a threatening pose toward the television. It's very, very adversarial, my relationship. And this is only one day. I've got a very adversarial relationship between myself, the Wii, and Netflix. And I don't want it to be adversarial. I want to embrace the new technology. And yet I can't. So anyway, these are shows. So I started binge watching Longmire, and by binge watching, I watched 2 episodes, then I fell asleep. But that's a start, because I don't see myself ever sitting and binge watching a program for like 8 or 10 hours.
You know, it was funny. DeJilly and I were talking about this. One thing Netflix has started doing is over the credits, they will say, you know, like, the next episode will start airing in 20 seconds, 19, 18.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So it starts counting down. And, like, so by the time it's like, well, might as well just watch another one.
Just sit here all day. Do you binge watch Esmeralda?
Oh, yeah.
Do you really?
I can't help it. That countdown makes it worse because I start going to the corner to exit out, and I go, no, oh, it's already started.
It's already started. I can't do it. It'd be rude to stop it now.
Exactly.
So what's this Fire Stick, Dan? And we're not getting paid by Amazon, so you don't have to.
We are not.
You don't want to. But it does is everything, what does it do?
It is basically a USB flash drive,
right?
But fancier and a little bigger with an HDMI port, and you just plug it into one of the HDMI ports on your TV, which you should have several of.
Sure. I should.
Yeah. You know, it's a big TV. So
I don't know if you heard. It is a big TV. It's like 24 inches.
Right. So
huge.
So the nice thing about the Amazon Fire Stick is that it has Netflix on there. So you're able to access Netflix through that. But also, we are Amazon Prime members.
Oh, of course.
So we are able to access all of the Amazon TV shows and movies that they have.
And they have they just started producing TV shows,
right?
They
have their own shows.
Oh, my.
And
where do you find the time?
I mean,
an infant.
Well, that's the thing. You're like, we bought it for the last 2 weeks when we've been off.
Right.
You know, because, you know, during that time that she's sleeping for 45 minutes, it's like, oh, let's watch, you know, a TV
show. Did you
show.
Binge over the holidays?
We did. Well, we did binge over the holidays.
What'd you watch? So
we watched, there's a show called White Collar that was on USA.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, so we binge watched that.
Okay.
There was another show on Amazon that Eileen really liked that I was kind of meh on. I can't remember the name of it. But,
yeah, if you didn't care for it, why remember it?
Exactly. So,
Listen, that's fun. I don't know. I would love to be able to take an entire day and do nothing but sit in the big chair and watch TV, except when I had to get up and use the remote.
Well, you know, and like it was funny because like I think that's why I binge, because we're so busy during the weekends that like we're 5-6 shows deep on, you know, recordings back on our DVR.
So yes, it's like, me too.
So the Saturday we have off is the Saturday we're like, all right, well, let's catch up on the 4 episodes of Blue Bloods that we haven't seen.
Yeah, and you got to catch up on Blue Bloods.
Tom Selleck would not be happy with us.
I need to know what the Reagans are doing. I need to know what Donnie Wahlberg is up to. What
doing
new
something stupid and running into a situation.
Every week
like,
he gets himself
just wait
in
for
a jam.
Backup, dude.
Oh, please. And then I need, what's his name, the assistant commissioner in charge of, I need him to come in and tell Tom Selleck to, you can't talk to these people. I'm going to talk.
The optics.
It's the same episode every week, but I love the show too. And it's actually on this list that I've been teasing and I will get to on the other side here at WGN. 57 channels and nothing on. You tell it, Bruce. More than 57 now, though. Too much is on. What are we watching? What do we watch the most in 2015 that aren't football shows? Aren't football shows. Football games. Shows that are not games. You know what I'm saying. All right. Here's a little list. This came. The Walking Dead is on there, of course. But the number one show that people watched, the average number of viewers, 21,000,065 for The Big Bang Theory. Now,
awful.
I've never seen a first-run episode of The Big Bang Theory, but I do watch it on TBS. That's why you don't like it at all, Esmeralda?
I don't like it at all.
Is it the stories, the acting?
That Sheldon makes me, his character. You know what it is? It's because I know nerds.
Right.
And these guys just, like, they have issues.
These nerds, the nerds on that show have serious issues.
Yeah, like, it's not funny to me. It's like, you have a problem.
Well, I think the problem is what's supposed to make them funny.
That guy's a jerk.
Yeah.
Sheldon, like, too much. It's, like, too much.
Right.
He has no redeeming qualities in my mind.
It seems to have gotten worse as the series has gone on, even when he had, even when he got his girlfriend, Amy Farrah Fowler, that didn't work. But, like I said, I've never seen a new episode. So I'm seeing, like, the early episodes and stuff. And really, the only time I watch it is if I'm sitting at the table and nothing else is on. If there's 57 channels and nothing's on, I go, oh, The Big Bang Theory is innocuous while I eat. It's not going to offend me, not going to get me riled up, not going to mess with my digestive system. so I can watch it, you know. So that was number one. Another show I have never seen ever in my life came in at number two with an average number of viewers at 20,913,000. These are according to Nielsen's year-end numbers. NCIS. Never seen an episode.
See, now that to me is an innocuous I can watch.
That's I was going to say the same thing. That's our background TV.
See, but that's an hour background TV. I don't have that kind of time for background TV. My background TV has to be a sitcom that I can fast forward and be done in 20 minutes. That's the one with Mark Harmon, and I think they're filming like their 1,000th or 10 millionth episode.
That
and
makes
I'm like,
sense, yeah.
What is it? I don't know when it's on. I know it's CBS. I don't know when it's out. I don't know. It's been on since like 1984, hasn't it, this show?
Because it's all that science stuff. Like, I've never really watched an NCIS. I was more into the CSIs.
Okay.
But it's the same thing. They just do crimes and science things.
Crimes and science things.
And let's go to the microscope. Like, that's all they did.
But
I don't know what it is
about
it.
But see, if that were the title of the show, nobody'd watch it. Crime and science things. No interest. And Mark Harmon's the star of that show, right?
Yes, I believe so, yes.
Yeah, all that Mark Harmon, he's dreamy. Good for him. Number three, now I do watch this show at 19,669,000 viewers for the year, The Walking Dead. I'm the only one in my house who watches The Walking Dead, so it's like my little private shame at home. I record them, and then when nobody's home, I can watch them because my wife won't watch it. She thinks it's too gross. And Molly, my daughter, never watched them either, so that's my little thing. And then if there's a day when my wife, like a night when we'd go down after dinner and stuff to watch TV and my wife wants to do something, you could just go watch one of your shows. Oh, one of my shows. All right. Like Homeland or The Walking Dead. Another one that I've never watched, even though it's filmed here in Chicago, and it's very, very popular. 17,747,000 of you watched Empire on Fox. With Taraji B. Henson and Terrence Howard.
I've been told to watch that.
Wow. Let's see.
But I haven't seen it.
Who told you?
Friends of mine.
They like it?
Yeah.
I know.
She's sassy.
I've heard she is sassy. What's her character? I forget. Cookie. Cookie is sassy. Do you watch the show, Dan?
I have not seen the show.
You just know about Cookie.
Right.
I know her character. I know her real name. I didn't know the... And it films over at like 17th Street, 17th and Western over there.
Our own Michael Heideman was in an episode.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Is that right?
Yes.
What did he do on Empire?
He's an assistant?
Yeah, he handed like a piece of paper to somebody who handed a piece of paper to Terrence Howard.
Was he nominated for an Emmy?
No. I'm going through the list in my head. Sorry.
Didn't make it? No. All right. Well, we'll keep. Oh, I didn't know. That's very exciting. Michael Heideman, one of the fine producers here at WGN Radio. A show that I should love because it's set in the city that I love, second only to Chicago, New Orleans, NCIS New Orleans, 17,316,000 people. And it's, again, one of those CBS procedurals that is exactly the same episode every week. And my wife and I started watching it because we would pick out certain New Orleans landmarks. And the Tulane Band was in one of the episodes, and we'd see things we loved. And then I realized, one, it bothers me when somebody has an accent in one scene and no accent in the next scene. And it just was lame. And
Who's the main character? Like, who's
Scott Bakula.
Oh.
Man,
sure, Scott Bakula.
Oh, are you watching it, Dan?
I am watching it.
Are you?
I love Scott Bakula. So.
I don't mind Scott Bakula, but again, the accents bothered me. And there was just something about it that I couldn't wrap my head around. It was like it was a generic police procedural, and then they would jam in some New Orleans thing. Like they could be set in any city in the world, and then they'd go, "How about a crawdad po' boy? What? Where'd that come from?" Or he'd throw in some saucy Bayou lingo, and I was like, "Okay, but."
I watch it because, you know, I want to support the Bakula, but I remember after the second or third episode, we were talking about it on air, and I was just like, man, you know, the accents are bad, though. Bakula's bad. The other guy's bad. And somebody texted me and said the guy's actually from Alabama, and that's his natural accent.
Really?
Yeah.
The other cop,
yeah,
part of his team?
Yeah.
Really? Oh, that's the kid that was in Friday Night Lights, the movie Friday Night Lights. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's his real accent?
Yeah.
It's bad. It's bad. Then I didn't buy the woman, the female member
from
of the
Chicago,
team. Yeah, I didn't buy
past.
Didn't buy that. There was a lot of things that I just didn't buy. So, and it kept recording. It's one of those things I forgot to delete from the DVR. And I'm like, oh, then you see NCIS New Orleans, 14 new episodes.
Right.
Delete. Click. That was it. They were gone. And here's our show, Dan. Comes in at number six with 14,974,000 viewers, every average number of viewers. Blue Bloods. And I don't know why I like this so much, except I like Tom Selleck.
Right.
And I dig Bridget Moynihan. Something about her, even though sometimes her hair looks a little greasy. But
are they here? Is that here in Chicago?
No, that's New York.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Frank Reagan is the NYPD commissioner, Esmeralda. He's got a lot on his plate. He's stressful. And then every Sunday they have a big – this is why I know you would like it, Dan, because every Sunday they have a big Sunday dinner,
right,
and they all say grace, and it's all very homespun. And then, again, Donnie Wahlberg's character goes off and gets in a jam, gets jammed up every week with some sort of police misconduct. But it's not really misconduct because he's a good cop.
Right.
But they mistake it for misconduct, and there's always – he's embroiled in some sort of controversy.
Thanks to this show, I've learned that apparently cops call ambulances buses.
Sure, you got to call a bus. I learned that from NYPD Blue back in the day. I do like that they always say forthwith, because that sounds so formal to me. I didn't know anybody said forthwith. But maybe it's only the Reagans. Maybe they're the only – because I picture them saying forthwith over the radio and the other cops just rolling their eyes. Seriously, can't you just say hurry up? No, we have to say forthwith. All right. And then Jamie, the younger son who was a lawyer, and now he's taking up the family business. And you know who's starting to bother me, though? The granddaughter.
Kids.
Yeah, the kids are starting to bother me. Because like every female teenage character on TV, I don't know who decided that teenage girls on TV have to be just pains. Because they are kind of in real life. But now in TV, they've amplified that. It doesn't matter what show. Pick a show. The teenage girl character you want to just headbutt. Or put in a box until she turns 21 and then let her out. Then you can have a normal conversation with her.
I will say the one episode I've seen of Blue Bloods, it was a lot based around that. The mom and the daughter were fighting over something.
Yeah, we got to get rid of that subplot. We got to get rid of that storyline. Just have her come to Sunday dinner and sit there and spout her progressive thoughts.
Yeah, that's what I'm like, is this going to be every episode? They're just going to be like, no, we're conservatives. And it's like, no, but I'm a young girl.
Yes, that storyline B or C in every episode.
That's pretty much, every family dinner.
That you dropped out, you got the big picture, that's storyline A. You got Donnie Wahlberg's weekly imbroglio.
That's
number two. And then I have progressive ideas, and I'm trying to, fight for the rights of everybody. That's storyline three.
She did cry, though, when her grandpa got shot down at NYU or whatever.
That episode was powerful.
Very powerful.
That's, again, Frank Reagan's not going to back down. He's not going to be afraid of some protesters. And finally, a show I stopped watching after season two and three, and then I was out. Dancing with the Stars, 14,555,000 average audience. No, thank you. Here's my definition of star. I shouldn't have to hear the name and go, who's that? If you're a star, I should hear your name and go, oh, yeah. So when you're dancing with C-list celebrities, in air quotes, I'm out. I don't need to see it. I don't need to see one of the sharks from Shark Tank dance. I don't need to see some third-tier gymnast go out and do a lambada. That's not for me. Not what I'm looking forward to. But there you go. Those are the top shows that we watched last year. Not we. You. You, me, Dan, Esmeralda. We watched some of them. Some of them we couldn't stomach.